something pretty remarkable with these two good things. God makes these good things, and God makes them goodier than good, right? God makes these good things in your life, and they make them even better. God does it by transforming how we think about family and how we think about country. We're given a new country as the people of God. As we'll read in Hebrews chapter 11, a new country we're a part of. What's the name of this country we're a part of? The kingdom of God. This is what Jesus preached. This is what Jesus preached when he went from town to town, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." You're either part of this kingdom or you will bow down to this kingdom forcefully in the end. When God is king, when God reigns over the new heaven and the new earth, we are given a new country. We're also given a new family. What's that family called? The family of God? Yeah. Or the crowd of God, right? God's crowd. We're part of God's crowd now. Yeah. Where God is our Father in heaven, where Jesus is our firstborn brother who receives the inheritance, and all of those people around you right now are fellow brothers and sisters who will share in the inheritance of Christ. That's a beautiful gift, right? We get pictures of this throughout Scripture, even from the beginning, even in Ruth. Ruth, four chapters, really simple story, deep story, and a wonderful story to understand who we are in God. It's a story of a Moabite girl. She's part of a Moabite family, and of how she becomes part of the Hebrew family through marriage, and in the end considered fully part of the family of God. But there's something else happening in this story. The story is also a metaphor about you. Ruth, the story of Ruth is about you. We were in one family, and now we have been redeemed. We have the kinsman redeemer in Jesus Christ redeeming us and bringing us into another family, the family of God, sharing fully in the inheritance as well. We are born into a family. We are all born into a family. Some of our families are broken families. Some are not. But we're all born into a family. But we're born again into another family. It's an odd sort of family. God's family doesn't grow by natural births. It grows by spiritual births. It grows by supernatural births. All are welcome. All are fully accepted. All are loved. Some of us come from families that we are happy to leave because of how painful they were. Some of us, this idea of being brought into a new family, a better family, is a foreign idea, maybe a scary idea, but also a wonderful idea at the same time. People often who are the ones who come from families that are broken and have been full of hurt find the most joy when they discover that God is calling them into a new family. And they discover, this is the family of God, the family I've longed for all my life. It's a beautiful family. And I really believe that, well, Mount Hermon being part of that family, the greater family, you see a lot of love here in this church. And we really do treat each other like family very often, loving one another as we would love our brother or sister, mother or father. There's one catch, though, when it comes to being a part of this family. It's a catch, a requirement, that we all need to abide by. This family needs to be more important than your other family. It needs to be more important than your other family. Can you do that? Can you consider this family to be more important than the family you were born into? While Jesus is still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mothers and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." How in the world is Jesus talking about his mom like that? I couldn't imagine dissing my mom the way Jesus is dissing his mom right here. His mom wants to talk with him. If I were sitting there and teaching, let me make it nice and concrete. If somebody came through that door and said, "Rich, your mom needs to talk to you," I can very easily see myself saying, "Excuse me, I got to go talk with my mom." It would be really difficult for me to say, "My mom is here. My brothers and sisters are here. Go tell that to my mom." It would be really, and I cannot imagine having sat there and seen what Jesus did. It must have been very awkward for some people. It would have been awkward for me. You know what I really want to do with this passage in the Bible? I want to downplay it. I want to water it down. It's like, no, Jesus is just saying, you know, it's important. It's important to treat your brothers and sisters in Christ with respect. Or maybe I just want to say, you know, this is just one story. Jesus never talks like this anywhere else in Scripture. So I just, you know, put that aside. Jesus never says anything like this elsewhere in Scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Okay, maybe Jesus does say things like this elsewhere in Scripture. I also think about when Jesus called his disciples. He expected them to make Jesus first. Jesus expected them to make him first, even over their family. In Mark 1, "When he had gone a little further, Jesus saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." These guys left their dad in the boat and followed Jesus. Would I have done that? If Jesus had come up to me while I was helping my father out and said, "Follow me, leave your father and follow me," would I have done that? Would y'all have done that? I don't know if I would have made the cut, being one of Jesus' disciples. And you know, not everyone who Jesus said, "Follow me," followed him. Jesus wasn't this great charismatic person who was able, just by a few words, to overwhelm your will. There were people who said no. He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you will go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Do you know why I don't preach? You don't hear me preach about this as much? And certainly I preach about the family of God and its importance. And I definitely don't spend time in worship service with explicit things, explicit family things. But why I don't preach about us putting God's family first over our biological families is I have to confess to y'all here now. I got to confess. I struggle with this. I really do. I struggle certainly with the other one about country. There are times when I have to stop myself and say, well, you know, which am I more loyal to? But when it comes to family, I rarely stop and think. Jesus' words horrify me. They scandalize me. This is where the Bible preaches at me and asks me, how loyal am I to God? Is it really God, family, country for me? Could I ever see myself abandoning my family if Jesus asked? You know, fortunately, my parents and my siblings are followers of Jesus, so they're part of this other family, this family of God, God's crowd. Nevertheless, whenever someone has disrespected a family member, I do not show the love of God to them. When somebody respects a family member of mine, whether it was my mother or my brother or sister, something clicks in my head, and I go crazy. Sometimes I've even gotten violent. You've heard the saying, blood is thicker than water, right? That family is most important. And for me, I often, and I'm confessing this to you, right? We're told to confess our sins one to another. I'm confessing this to you. Often, I think the blood of the Goodyear family is thicker than the water of baptism. And I need to be called out on it. I need to confess this to you, and I need y'all to pray for me. Whenever I preach to myself, and I'm preaching this to myself today especially. But I have to end with a challenge, challenge for y'all, but a challenge for myself as well, for every Christian who hears. As we consider all the things that are happening around the world and all the things that are happening in this country, who do we run to and say, I'm loyal to this person or this party or this group of people that I call family? Who are we most loyal to? Thinking about brothers and sisters in Syria, or outside of Syria, Syrian brothers and sisters who've had to run for their lives, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters today in France and in Turkey, brothers and sisters with different skin colors, brothers and sisters with different languages and different nationalities, those who don't look like us, how much do we care about them compared to our biological families? Do you care about them as your family? Are these people your family? Are they your crowd? Lord God, I do not ever want to tame Jesus or his words. I want them to speak to us and to speak at us and to remind us of what it takes to follow Jesus Christ. It takes more than being a nice person. It takes more than being a good son. Lord God, I ask that your Holy Spirit speak to each and every heart in the sanctuary so that your wisdom may pervade throughout this family and that you can guide us into your calling for us as disciples of Jesus Christ. I pray this in faith and in hope, Lord, and in the name of our big brother, Jesus. Amen. If you have a decision to make this morning, whether it is to follow Jesus Christ, whether it is to recommit your life to him, or any other decision you'd like to make before this family, I encourage you to come forward during this last hymn of invitation. Please stand.